I'm from Wigan originally, but we live here now in London with my wife Charlotte and our baby Lily. I want to talk to you today about this, life after lockdown. What did we learn? What did we keep? And what do we leave behind? I remember that first week of lockdown when we got told that we could exercise for 30 minutes. Well, just maybe 6 months before that, I got really into cycling and was cycling to work and back. Obviously, when work was shut, I needed to find something new to do. So I started by cycling to work and then home because I was working from home and I'd do a loop around the Thames. And then after that, I'd cycle around central London and back home again. I'd use the time really just to think and be close to God and meditate on, you know, scriptures and things I was listening to through worship music during the week. One thing stuck with me, it was this verse from Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. You'll know it really well. It says this: "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It kind of feels strange still talking to a camera for a youth conference, but it's great to be here at Limitless Oxygen. Love you guys at Limitless, love Tim and the team and the gang there. But, you know, if you want to start a little chat, then feel free to DM me at This Is Tom Clark on Instagram or on Twitter. This Is Tom Clark. Check out HV Youth Online, whatever. The best way is of starting a conversation after this. Comment on the YouTube clip. I don't even know where this goes after now. But wherever you are, get in touch. And send me an email, tom@hgb.org. This is really part of a conversation. It feels odd somehow to tell you everything we've learned, because everything we've learned has come from community and conversation with other people. So let me pray before we start. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look at everything that we've learned during lockdown. Lord, thank you for how you guide us, how you guide each one of us as we watch this and as we think through what does youth ministry look like going forward. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd just come back from our youth weekend away. It was around about the 16th of March, just a week, I think, before the national lockdown took place. I spent a lot of time thinking of praying as well as cycling in the shower. And I went for a shower and I was in there thinking, wow, that was an amazing youth weekend. We've taken a couple of hundred young people away. And I was thinking, but what happens next? You know, it was when taking people away was okay. And, you know, we were all still sanitizing our hands and trying to keep that was before we had to keep certain distances from each other. But the question starts to mull around my mind, what happens now when we can't meet with each other anymore? And so we set up Youth Online. HDV.org Youth Online started, and we sent a text out to all our young people on the 17th of March, 2020. And the dream was this: how do we take everything that we've been doing? The vision of HD Youth was to create spaces where young people thrive. How do we do that now we can't meet in person? The obvious answer was to move all of it online. Thrive had become an acrostic: treasure God, have fun, realize identity, influence society, value all, and emulate Christ. And some of that was already online, or it wasn't in person. We'd text people, or we'd put stuff on our Instagram page, we're sending emails out to parents. We had a Spotify account, but there wasn't much on there. The question was, how did we find this agility? How could we find this agility between online and offline and use the online world even for even greater good? Let me explain our spaces to you. We've got four main spaces at HDB Youth. The first is our public space. These are our larger gatherings where we gather all the young people in one space, maybe for a youth weekend away or our 4:30 service where most of our young people come and hang out. Then we have our more social spaces. You know, up to 70, 100 young people. These are our streams or our parties, Christmas parties, Easter parties, summer parties. Our streams start young youth, old youth, and sick form. Young youth is for year 6 to year 8. Old youth is year 9 to year 11. Sixth form is for sixth formers, year 12 and year 13. And then we have our small groups. each stream is then divided into year groups. And in each year group, sometimes they split up into genders, but not always. So you have year 6 boys all the way up to year 13 boys. That too acts as a great pipeline for our leaders. They can start as a volunteer in year 6 and work all the way up to year 13. Doesn't always happen that way, but there are a couple watching, and that's happened. You've been doing it the whole time. And then we have our pods. They stand for pockets of disciples. That wasn't my idea. I was on a retreat once and someone else. The pod stands for pockets of disciples. So, well, now they do. The highest call of those working with young people is to be with. There are times when being for, working for, or working with can be vital. But being with young people sits at the very heart of youth ministry. But what happens when all of your normal ways of being with are shut down or prevented from happening? That's why we started to take all of our youth stuff online. It was a place we could gauge with young people. Young people have been online since they were born. They're digital natives. YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Snapchat, Discord, WhatsApp, etc., etc. The question was, how did we engage with young people in a way that we could disciple them and reach those that we'd never reached before? We set up YouTube pages, games, started gaming on Twitch. We started Youth Alpha Online, we hosted a Minecraft server, we started a series on Spotify or two podcasts, we upped our Instagram game, we got started live streaming, we were at the bar with young people on Zoom. But it was more than this. We wanted to make sure we had an agility to our youth ministry that could continue into the future. It wasn't just let's move everything online, because that's what we have to do for now. The question was, what is God calling us to? I was reminded too of this story in John's Gospel. You know it, John 21, verse 6, when it says, they're on the boats together trying to catch fish and they can't catch the fish. And Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you will find some fish. When they did that, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. That's what we found when we moved online. There were loads of young people we'd never engaged with before. Some of the guys, Daniel and Jonathan, started online gaming on Twitch. twitch.tv/HBUs, check it out. What amazed me was the amount of young people that were just scrolling down and they'd find our page and think, I want to be a part of that. And then join in. We were reaching young people we'd never reached before. And then, of course, over time, they joined in more of our program, had a look at Youth Alpha, they joined Focus Alive and The Gathering. And now they're in discipleship groups and pod groups and talking about Jesus, talking about the Bible and being part of community on Discord where we're living life as Christians together. But I guess really that had come from our culture of invitation. That started a couple of years before. In fact, we had done a digital detox, which was one of our young people's idea, Sophia. She said, why don't we lock ourselves away in 24/7 prayer room, 24 hours, turn off all our mobile phones and pray to God. So we did it. 24 hours, March, 2 or 3 years ago, we took ourselves to 24/7 prayer room at church in our car park. Put all our phones away in a safe. I had one phone left on the wall. That was because we were having a baby. We were due to have a baby that weekend. Taped it up with a little sign that said, emergency, if this rings, there's a baby on the way. The baby didn't come that weekend. But what did come was a real sense of the presence of God. And the start, I think, of this culture of invitation that we've never seen before. Why? Well, peer-to-peer evangelism is essential. And I think there are 4 things that should be done if you're trying to increase the connection between young people and their friends to tell them about Jesus. If you're trying to start this culture of peer-to-peer evangelism, they are, to begin with, create an environment for prayer. And that's what we did. We created this environment for prayer. We spent really 24 hours and we timetabled it up every half an hour, so something different to do. But over time, towards the early hours of the night, or the morning, about 1 a.m, 2 a.m, the program became less important. And what ensued was a connection with the presence of God that just took us through the whole night. We were praying about things that were on our hearts. Young people were reading Bible passages important to them. One young person writing songs. And it was in that environment for prayer we found compassion, passion, Holy Spirit, and direction. Compassion for the lost, those that didn't know Jesus. Passion to reach them, to go after them. the Holy Spirit to get the job done, direction to reach those that we've been sent to. So create environments for prayer. Second thing is to create space to dream and to coach. Young people have got great ideas for reaching their friends. They've seen it before. But what is really exciting is when you sit down over Zoom now, a cup of coffee, or I don't know, bubble tea, what everyone's drinking, what anyone's drinking in your area, and ask, what should we do? You know, if you had £50 and we could do something to reach your friends, what would you do with it? What I love to see is when you then ask, once they've come up with their first idea, you ask the next idea. What would you do if you had a little bit more? Or what would you do if you couldn't do that? The ideas from young people are the best ideas in the world. Go with them. Create environments of prayer. Create space to dream and to coach. Resource them. You know, we use Youth Alpha. It's a great tool. I'm sure you've heard me talk about it before, but Youth Alpha is a great way for young people to reach their mates. In fact, online it's become even easier. I've received a text from a mate, Jack, one of my young people, text me saying, Youth Alpha is even easier now, because all you've got to do is send them the Zoom link. And the final thing is to train. Train young people up. We sent them to Ocker before, to the Reboot Days in Central London. You can send them to the Youth Evangelism Conference. Send them wherever you can to get them trained up. Send them a video that would help them out. Create environments for prayer. Create space to dream to coach. Resource them and train them. And that culture of invitation really started over the last couple of years. And what we noticed was young people texting their friends and inviting them along. When we moved everything online, that just continued. They'd be sending out the links to the YouTube page, sending out the gaming or posting the gaming on their Instagram stories, and their friends would connect. But the question now we need to ask is, what continues? Well, I think relationship is super important. We don't want to lose relationship and that connection with young people. A couple of things really is, it brings ideas. Young people are full of ideas. Connecting with young people, you'll get more ideas. And that's our job, isn't it, as youth workers and kids workers, to pass them, to a relationship with young people. We want young people to be involved. To, well, you know, they can provide the content. When we started our live streams, I remember a couple of our young people sending over videos of stuff they've been up to that week. One guy dyed his hair blonde, another guy shaved his eyebrow, I copied that one. They started to be the content creators. And that's what we are used to really in sessions. We just didn't call it content creators. You know, if it was someone's birthday, we'd get them up and we'd sing happy birthday, or we'd say what we've been up to this week and they'd announce what they've been up to. Testimony moves online. So they were talking about what they've been up to. Not always spiritual, sometimes spiritual, but sometimes just what they've been doing that week. And we moved that culture invitation online. You know, before we'd give out flyers, we started to call them invitations. Now we send out texts and say, share with your friend. We send out photos or graphics and say, share this with whoever you know. And we pressed into this idea of VIP3. It's a very important prayer for a very important person for a very important purpose. And we released this video about Youth Alpha and encouraged them to try VIP3. Here it is. All right, what an amazing opportunity we have to invite our friends to Youth Alpha. I want us all to pray right now for our friends who we're going to invite. So let's pray like this. VIP3. It's a very important prayer for a very important person for a very important purpose. So, whilst we listen to this reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, from the Message version, let's think about three people that we should invite to Youth Alpha. Okay? Claudia, over to you.
Here's another way to put it. You're here to be the light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going to go public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house and be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God. This is the generous Father in heaven.
Okay, so now comes the challenge.
text, DM, PM, Snap, whatever you cool kids do to contact a mate and invite them to Youth Alpha. It starts this Wednesday and every Wednesday, each week. So go on, text them right now, send them a message, and let's see how many of our friends we can get along to Youth Alpha Online. Let's do this together.
Talk through the different things we moved online and what it looked like. As I said, we've got public spaces, and these are really broadcast for everyone. So we put those on YouTube and Spotify, and we had a Young Youth Journal. With Young Youth Journal, we'd have a 6-minute talk and then a PDF that young people could join in with online. We had our social spaces, like our parties, and really this became Youth Alpha and our online gaming through Twitch. Youth Alpha, we ran on a regular basis, a rolling course. So it wasn't like it started 1 week and then you couldn't join. Every week, if we had more young people, we'd start a new course or we'd add them into the course that was already running. We wouldn't join new young people into a group that had been running for longer than 2 or 3 weeks and we'd start a new one for them. But if there was space and it only been running for a couple of weeks, then we'd join new people into that course. Youth Alpha happened on Zoom. We'd watch the video together. And then if there were a big group, we'd break out into small groups, breakout groups on Zoom, or we'd stay together with a game to start us off. Or the online gaming, which happened on Twitch, twitch.tv/HDBYouth. And we saw so many young people get connected through that. There was one guy in Hungary who was scrolling down and just saw what we were up to and thought, I want to be a part of this. He's now part of our community through our Discord channel for young people. Then we've got our small groups. These happen on Zoom. And we gather every week after the 4:30, where we've been doing a live broadcast, to connect with our young people, to talk through life with them and what it was like being at school, at home, and reading the Bible together. And then we had our pods. These happened on Zoom as well. Now we can meet in person. They happen in parks or at church in a kind of 6 people in a group. So everything we've done is now online. And we can do some of it in real life and some of it online. That doesn't really matter. I think the agility of where it happens is not important. What's important is we've got an ability to move these spaces online and offline as needed, as lockdowns increase or decrease wherever. The other exciting thing has been the increased work in schools now that schools have opened back up. As the bubbles have been happening at schools, where we used to have one group, we now need 2. So there's 3 schools where we've been asked to go in twice a week rather than once. That might be something you could do in your local area too. I think the real thing is about agility. How do we stay agile to what's going on? By holding things lightly, by connecting with young people, sticking with young people, and staying connected with God. Question is now, what do we stop? You know, as a youth worker, we can, or kids workers, we can create and recreate and reimagine and come up with new ideas, and you start adding more and more and more to your plate. For us, we're trying to hold things really lightly and be agile. Innovation, I think, seems to come up with fresh ideas every 5 or 10 years when something looks jaded. Whereas velocity carries at the speed at which something's travelling. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to keep our eyes on what young people are up to. That means that when something changes, we can shift with them. It's a relationship that's with young people, not for or to young people. If it's to young people, you have to change as soon as something changes and you've not quite got where they're at. If you're with young people, you're just moving with them. The adventure's with them, not for them or to them. That takes time, it takes connection, it takes relationship. And it takes team that are up for it. You know, getting your volunteers involved, people that are good at making music, people that are good at making videos, people that are good at doing puppets, making graphics. I don't know what it is. Getting people involved is super important. The other question we need to ask is, what happens when we get all of these young people? How do we keep hold of them and how do we disciple them really well? Well, that's where pods really took on a life of their own. Before, pods really was something we were trialing out, but now pods became essential. We need to make sure every four or five young people knew who their youth leader was. You know, there's a lot that we're blessed to come to our youth group. We need to make sure our youth group is feeling really small and intimate and connecting young people with the Bible. And that's where pods take place. So for every four or five young people, there's one leader, or two sometimes, a slightly larger group, that read the Bible together, either through the method of soap, scripture, observation, application and prayer, or another way, like highlighting the Bible verses in different colours depending on what you're reading. The point of these was really that the discipleship stayed really intentionally part of, and it's the centre of our youth ministry. And that would be the same for you guys watching. You're trying to think, how do I keep hold of these young people? You know, you gather young people in big groups, but really it's that intimate space, that small group that keeps people, young people, for the long haul. So what have we learned? Well, being with young people is the most important thing. It's online, in real person, in real life, face to face. Proximity to young people is key. I think it's out of the proximity to young people we really learn the most about how to help. And proximity to God, relationship with God. You know, all these ideas really come from a relationship with Him. It's nothing we come up with or I've come up with. Hopefully, these were God's ideas. If they weren't God's ideas, then I hope they'll stop. They need to stop soon. Let me encourage you, keep going. Do what you're doing, it's great. And ask God, where's the net He's asking you to throw? Where's that need to go? Look on the other side. Is He calling you to something new, something fresh? Are you stuck for ideas? Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much for everyone watching today. You bless them. Give them faith, give them hope, give them courage. In Jesus' name.